Howdy, everybody. Welcome back and happy Skews Day to you. Today's October 26, 2021. I'm Trey Crowder, and that's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? Hope you're doing good. I hope you enjoyed D.C. over the weekend. I heard you guys had some hot shows, right?
Yeah, some super hot shows, buddy.
You know, all you missed in L.A. over the weekend was, the film and television industry melting down over Alec Baldwin shooting a lady at work.
Yeah, that's super messed up, obviously.
It's not really clear what exactly happened or how it happened. Of course, there's going to be investigations and stuff into that. But we talked a lot about union drives last week.
Yeah.
And I would say that the one takeaway, if there is one, is that unions will save your life. Because what happened was the union crew felt unsafe. And also they were getting fucked on money. So they were complaining and producers had security escort them off set and replace them with non-union crew, because New Mexico is a right-to-work state, and promptly someone didn't know how to do the job right, and two people got shot, and one of them died. So, yeah.
Unions save lives ever since the days of people getting chopped up and put into the canned meat, you know, with the rest of the meat. Like, that's what unions are for.
I think we talked about this before, but when Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle, he thought he was trying to – people were going to read him and be horrified by the working conditions, but all it succeeded in doing was getting the FDA started, because people were like, oh, humans are in our hot dogs?
Yeah.
We got to fix the hot dogs.
Dude, hot dogs are gross? Oh, my God. Write a letter to your senator. All right.
Yeah.
So with us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. Real quick, remind you, if you're vaccinated and want to see me live, you can go to wellreadcomedy.com for tickets and information. And, you know, hope to see you out there. Okay, as for the show tonight, Mark's going to walk us through the Pandora Papers, the massive collection of leaked documents published by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, which details the true extent of the shady and underhanded dealings of the world's ultra-rich. Prepare to be pissed off. But along the way, we got some other infuriating stuff for you. For example, the January 6th rioters' shocking realization that jail kind of sucks. And Ron DeSantis has a hilariously hypocritical new stance on unemployment. All that and more on this week's Skews. But first, as always, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, anyone who thinks school children should be forced to read books. That's right. Take a look at this campaign ad from the heating up Virginia gubernatorial race.
As a parent, it's tough to catch everything. So when my son showed me his reading assignment, my heart sunk. It was some of the most explicit material you can imagine. I met with lawmakers. They couldn't believe what I was showing them. Their faces turned bright red with embarrassment. They passed bills requiring schools to notify parents when explicit content was assigned. It was bipartisan. It gave parents a say, the option to choose an alternative for my children. I was so grateful. But then Governor Terry McAuliffe vetoed it twice. He doesn't think parents should have a say. He said that. He shut us out. Glenn Youngkin, he listens. He understands. Parents matter. Join me in voting for Glenn Youngkin.
I'm Glenn Youngkin, candidate for governor, and I sponsored this ad.
All right. This seems dumb on the surface, but it's actually even dumber than it seems. I feel like most of us watch this and you think, I'm sure this is some critical race theory bullshit, even though they don't explicitly state it. But yes, you get into the details of it and it's even dumber than at first glance. Hey, Mark.
Yeah. The book she's complaining about that gave her now 27-year-old son night terrors was beloved by Toni Morrison, which does have some graphic, it's beyond the rape scenes. It's been a while since I read it. I haven't read it since high school, but it's like it's set in the 1850s. It's about a woman who's tracked down by fugitive slave hunters and kills her child rather than have them be submitted to bondage. So you can imagine why she doesn't want her pretty white schoolboy reading it and knowing the horrors his ancestors committed. But it's even dumber than that, because one, this was an AP English class. So it's a college level reading.
12th grade, right? Because, yeah, I feel like you watch this and you're picturing, at least I pictured, like a 9-year-old, 9 or 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, my baby boy brought home this brutal literature and I just couldn't believe it. But this was a senior in high school in an AP English class.
Yeah.
Given this monumental work of American literature. And, that's what gave him nightmares.
A literal college level class that he signed up for as a borderline adult to read adult books. And by the way, you want the school education system designed for teachers to teach to the test. This is literally on the AP test. If he doesn't know it, he's not going to do good in the test. He's not going to get into the college he wants. So it's not really a way around this. But someone else made this point. But like, the kid was old enough to drive a car down to see the 1998 film version without adult supervision. Like, he could buy a ticket to the R-rated movie starring Oprah. So, by the way, the kid's now he's a lawyer and he works for the National Republican Party, and he was an intern in Trump's White House. And he was not doesn't appear to be all damaged by this, but also like this is another example of like there's a lot of astroturfing going on in the Virginia governor's race where these people are presented as concerned parents, but they're literally just like Republican Party activists, are not just regular parents. And she had tried to pass a law in like 8 years ago when this came up with her son trying to let parents choose what books their kids are taught. Which, Trey, do you need more parental duties?
No, I don't. That's what I was thinking. It's like, you know, and I guess some of them do, but it's just like, just, you know, just teach them yourself. Like, if you know, if you want to like completely dictate what they are taught at school, then just fucking homeschool them. Like, I feel like that's what schools are supposed to be for, is, you know, making sure they learn things that they might not otherwise learn if they didn't go to school. So if you're gonna let parents start dictating what the curriculum is, then what is even the fucking point anymore?
I mean, first of all, teachers, my mom and my sister are teachers, and the teachers don't have time to make 30-something individual lesson plans. That's if you got one class. Let's say you have six classes, you got 180 students. So if one kid, this kid, she's asking for her kid to be able to set the curriculum for the entire class. And by the way, they all have to take this test to get into college. But like 40% of Americans believe in angels. Can you imagine if one parent was like, why isn't biology class teaching the biology of angels? And so all the kids had to learn about people with wings in science class.
They don't. That's not that far off from the other things they've gotten furious about in the past as far as curriculum with where science is concerned, i.e., you know, if we came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? And global warming being a lie and all that bullshit. I mean, they get up in arms about that stuff, too. And it's funny because all of these things are, you know, real things that happened in the world. They just don't want their children to know about them, which again, can't stress enough the ostensible purpose of school. So
and if you're wondering how how our post-reality, post-truth media is handling this, here's a clip from the most trusted name in news talking about this governor's race.
I heard that. I felt like that was a little bit of wishful thinking from President Obama. Anybody who has a child in K through 12 school right now knows that these aren't phony culture wars. You might not think they're legitimate or founded on facts, but they're happening. Right.
Yeah. This might not be real, but it is.
But it's real. I don't understand is she just saying like, people really are pissed about this. If that's all she's saying, then I mean, yeah, sure, fine. We see them screaming at the school board every other day. Like, yeah, of course they really are pissed about it. But, like, it shouldn't be given the sort of, like, legitimacy that, you know, that she seems to be giving it there.
This is, like, the level where, like, it drives me crazy about political analysis. But it's, like, 30,000 feet, like trying to hover over everything. And instead of like saying what reality is, which is what the news should do, she's trying to play analyst at what other people are thinking reality is, and then trying to formulate coverage of that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like Plato's shadow cave, but only concerned for the shadows. Or I don't know if that analogy works.
Yeah. No, I think that works. I think you nailed it. That's good. Good job. Yeah. Good pull there. So I'm gonna be honest with you. I was going through our show outline earlier. I don't think you had yet added this Madison Cawthorn clip. So why don't you set this one up without making everybody think? Well, anyway, just go ahead, set it up.
So I guess the dumbass here would be Dr. Fauci for being the Cruella de Vil of Africa. Roll the clip, Matt.
Okay.
Madam Speaker, today I am calling for the creation of a formal commission to investigate the true origin of COVID-19, the role Fauci played in its creation, the false statements he made to members of Congress under oath, and why the hell Americans are funding the torture of puppies in Africa. Americans deserve the truth, and this demon doctor must never be allowed to escape justice. With that, I yield back.
For what purpose is the gentleman from...
So if you're not well attuned to the right wing internet fever swamps, there's like a nugget of a story about the NIH funding some research in Africa that somehow, and I'm not sure how much truth is this part, but these medical experiments were conducted on dogs. And so this is blowing up into a huge meme in on the right that Dr. Fauci supports in dog murder. And now we're shitposting on the floor of Congress about a 10% truth made up right wing internet meme.
And it's funny. Good like times. I guess did Hitler love dogs? Wasn't that a thing? I say this because Kyle Thorne's a Nazi, you know, wheels, as I like to call him. He's into that. It's funny that that a Nazi would make any type of humanitarianism or whatever humane ethical treatment of any other being a platform. You know what I mean?
It's mainly about getting Fauci herded into a camp. I think that's the goal here. Congress is really on one lately. People have been chanting "Let's go Brandon." You know about the "Let's go Brandon" thing?
Yeah, it's they're thinly veiled way of saying "fuck Joe Biden." I'm still not really clear on how that whole thing got started or why they even care enough to do that instead of just saying it, you know, but.
Yeah. So what happened, I think it was on MSNBC. They were interviewing a NASCAR driver. His name was Brandon. His first name is Brandon. And in the background of this interview, I don't even know what the context was or why they were doing it, but the crowd started chanting "fuck Joe Biden." And so the newscaster panned a little bit and said, "Oh, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. Back to you in the studio."
Okay.
And so this is their adorable meme way to say "fuck Joe Biden." Congressmen are ending their floor speeches with "let's go, Brandon." And one congressman wore a "let's go, Brandon" face mask on the floor of Congress the other day. So just a bunch of fucking clown children. Look, I don't know language police. You want to say "fuck Joe Biden," say "fuck Joe Biden." Right. I don't care. But don't be a baby about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thinking about it further, it is kind of totally in keeping with their general philosophy of, I feel like they love to not say exactly the thing that they are saying. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When it's just just say "let poor people die." If you're against any, universal health care, and just say you're cool with poor people dying, but they won't say it. And it's just say you're afraid of black men or whatever when they talk about police feeling threatened and shit like that. I feel like they very often don't actually say what they're thinking. So it actually totally tracks that they would have "let's go Brandon" instead of "fuck Joe Biden."
I mean, when you just turn everything into a meme, so you can say stuff without actually saying it. Right. It's adorable. Just a bunch of 50, 60 year old guys who are little schoolboys having a naughty, it's just be a naughty Trey.
All right. So next up, for honorable mention here, anybody who thinks British politics is any more sane than ours are, this is a hell of a clip here.
So the guy being interviewed is a centrist right-wing British media figure interviewing an environmental activist. And the first thing he's going to say is, "What are you glued to?" So if you don't, the context here is British environmental activists have been gluing themselves to roadways to fog up traffic. So he started off being a dick, and then it got worse from there.
Yeah, he's he's basically interviewing a tree hugging hippie, right? Or and he's just trying to shit on him is the context of this. And then this is how that conversation goes.
Yeah.
Morning, Mike.
Oh, hello. What are you glued to, Cameron?
Just your screen, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? What do you do for a living, Cameron?
I'm a carpenter.
A carpenter, right. So how safe is that for the climate?
Well, I work with timber, which is a much more sustainable material rather than concrete. I also
But you work with trees that have been cut down then, don't you?
It's a sustainable building practice.
How is it sustainable if you're killing trees?
Because it's regenerative, you can grow trees.
Right. Well, you can grow all sorts of things, can't you?
Well, you can't grow concrete.
You can. See you, Cameron. Cheerio. That was Cameron. He grows trees and then cuts them down and then makes things from them.
So even worse, that guy, Mike Graham, doubled down. He found some obscure article about a bacteria that can grow concrete. He's like, see, I was right. And then he's also been jokes about, like, of course you can grow concrete. Here's a concrete plant. It's like a concrete manufacturing plant. So things are really sane over there. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so he's like trying to say, like, you can't care about the environment if you work with wood ever, because that murders trees.
Yeah. You just heard trees grow back. I don't know. It's wild. This is a ruling elite, guys. This is who's in charge of everything. Is this generation of fucking idiots? So we feel for you. I've been listening to a lot of British political podcasts lately because it's so far away from here. It's at least recreationally stupid. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like yeah. they don't have 11 aircraft carrier battle groups and enough military to destroy the world. So it's like, yeah, their fuck ups are just sort of funny.
But yeah, they have a way of anything seems a little more whimsical coming from them and their accent. You know what I mean? It's just easier to laugh off. Tell you what isn't easy to laugh off, Mark. Prison. At least jail. Yeah, this just in. Jail kind of sucks. That's right. Our next honorable mention is old Cooey. I'll remember Cooey, if you don't, you will in a minute. The leader of Cowboys for Trump, who he's a dumbass for not having the foresight to go to like a fancy white jail or something. I don't know. It just seems like jail didn't work out for him. And this has been a startling revelation. Let's hear it from the man himself.
And after that, they threw me in the D.C. Department of Corrections for a total of 3 weeks. The first 9 days of which was spent in total 24-hour-a-day solitary confinement. They didn't let me take a shower. They didn't let me use the phone. I was called the effing white cracker. I was just verbally assaulted, treated miserably. But unfortunately, a lot of the treatment that I received in January 6 is driven by the liberal left, because the liberal left has told the populace that all the Trump supporters are racist. So can you imagine the treatment that a Trump supporter gets when you get thrown in a D.C. Department of Corrections jail whenever every jail guard there is black and they've all been told that you're the racist person? It was very difficult, y'all, and it was very hard.
All right, so I mean, I wonder, maybe they saw the news and saw the Confederate flags at the Capitol on January 6th. That could have been it. Also, he shouldn't be mistreated in jail. But every time you complain about something like solitary confinement shouldn't exist because it's psychological torture. What do they always say? If you don't do the crime,
don't do the crime. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's like, we talked about this before. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she was on some tirade about how horrifically these people are being treated. And it's like we said, like, it's just them talking about how there are these inherent problems with the nature of our criminal justice system and the way that it treats people. And it's not, you know, rehabilitative. It's, you know, just punitive only and all this type of shit. And you hear them say it and it's like, yeah. Oh, no shit. You know, that's what we've been saying for forever. But of course, the context of it, them only caring now, them, you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, all that bullshit just really makes it all more, gives it a little bit of a different flavor. You know what I mean? Cause it's like it's wild to watch somebody make like a good point in such a bad and off target fashion. You know what I mean? Like still be so wrong while saying something that, you know, fundamentally I would otherwise agree with. It's just, it's a wild thing that they're able to do.
I and only I should have human rights. Right. That video is from a big QAnon conference that happened in Vegas over the weekend. I think it was Vegas. And the newsworthy part was that Cooey turned on Trump. The big breakup. He's mad at Trump for basically abandoning them and not giving everyone pardons and yada, 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 which we'll talk about in a second. But it was really funny. He said, for 4 years, we cried, lock her up, lock her up. We know she's a criminal. What did the president tell us? If I was in charge of the law, you'd be in jail. But Mr. President, you were in charge of the law for 4 years. At the end of your 4-year time, the only ones who were locked up were men like me. It's like, oh, fuck. You just, You just learned in real time that Trump's a bullshitter. It's fucking, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It's that classic. There's like a comment from a Trump supporter that went viral and continues to go viral every now and then, where it's like, he's not hurting the right people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's if it's like, they want him to hurt people. They want all this bad shit to happen. Just not to us. Wasn't supposed to be us that did it or that received it.
It's supposed to be good for the goose, not good for the gander, Trey.
Yeah, I'm the gander. Give it to the goose.
See, so Cooey's out of jail now. Like I said, he spent 3 weeks in jail. But some people aren't so lucky, haven't been lucky enough to get out yet. There's still a whole wing of MAGA people in jail in D.C. And recreationally, to soothe their fears and anxieties, every night of lockdown at 9 o'clock, they've taken to singing the Star Spangled Banner. Which is just like, can you imagine you're locked up for petty theft or a traffic warrant or whatever, and you're just trying to go to sleep, and you get these morons singing. I bet you they don't know the fucking words. They're just sort of half-assing it.
Yeah. And they formed their own little, they call it the Patriot Wing that they're in the prison. They've got a little, newsletter that they pass around, and they sing the Star Spangled Banner every night. And like, you hear this, and this is pointed out in the article that this comes from, by the way, but also you read this stuff and you just kind of like laugh at how silly they are and everything else. And it is, but also, so in the article we got, it's from Raw Story. They're pointing out that, this is likely to just radicalize them further. You know, again, going back to the way our jails and prisons work, where they don't actually rehabilitate anybody or whatever, and it just makes people even worse. Well, the same thing applies to these dudes potentially, because they're in even more of an echo chamber now, and they feel like, you know, downtrodden or whatever, like they're stepped upon. So now they're like motivated even more so to be their dumbass selves.
I mean, this is their version of joining the Nation of Islam and learning how to make toilet meth. Yeah, it's like, this is like where they're at. Yeah, I don't doubt it'll radicalize them more. The headline speaker of that big QAnon conference was A-list Hollywood actor Jim Caviezel, who starred in Passion of the Christ and the CBS procedural Person of Interest, I believe. And for a little flavor of what his speech is like, check out this clip.
Will you fight? This man says no, we'll run and we'll live. Yep, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom. Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You.
Yeah, he's just doing the monologue from Braveheart.
Right. That's what these things are. It's like, it's always like some mad lib, like freedom mad lib that they put together that works so effectively. You know what I mean? You can just use Braveheart clips if you want to, but it's just a list of cliches that they just check off as they go down and get more emotional, and people just eat it up. Toward the end of that clip, you can hear a guy in the crowd scream, "Freedom!" And that gets a huge applause break too. And it's just, but I always point out, he's probably a lunatic beforehand, but I think he's come up before for being a right wing lunatic. And I always point out that he was apparently struck by lightning like 3 times on the set of Passion of the Christ, which I feel like might make anybody believe that the Lord is real and wrathful and everything. And obviously, he probably got some blown circuits up there or something. Yeah. But either way, pretty wild shit.
He's a full blown Q guy now, and I think we might have talked about it. And the guy, like, they did QAnon Anonymous podcast, did a great episode on him, basically behind the scenes behind the scenes stories from him on Person of Interest, and he'd do shit like speed through intersections because he said his character wouldn't stop at red lights, and he refused to memorize his lines. The crew had to put him on little note cards for him. And they didn't want to insult him, so they didn't put one of his lines in a note card once. And he asked for it, and the line was just nope. He couldn't remember nope. So, yeah, he's a fucking great one.
Yeah. So, but on the note of the January 6th people, the insurrectionists and whatnot, there's some actual developments on that front, right? Or reportedly, this new information coming out, new allegations that are not surprising, but still very relevant.
Yeah, so Monday night, Rolling Stone dropped this investigative piece from sources inside the January 6th investigation and a couple of people that are cooperating with the investigation who were January 6th rioters, that they had a bunch of meetings to plan the insurrection with members of Congress who told them that President Trump will give them blanket pardons. Which, of course, if true, would – I mean, I'm not sure the legal framework for holding people accountable for a promise, but – it should be politically explosive. It should be fucking a death sentence for political careers. We know it won't be. Paul Gosar, pretty hilarious that Paul Gosar is a dentist and congressman. He's a congressman from Arizona whose family openly campaigns against him. All his brothers and sisters say he's a loser, a moron, and a psycho. He got asked about it, and he said, "Well, I didn't meet with them. My staff probably did."
I thought that was Mo Brooks that said that.
I thought it was Gosar.
Well, whatever. But, it was one of them, because it was – so it's – so, yeah, Mo Brooks, Boebert, Masson Cawthorn, Andy Biggs, Gosar, Louis Gohmert are all said to have met in advance of January 6th with some of the organizers of the January 6th proceedings. And, yes, as part of that, we're promised you'll get blanket pardons and stuff. And, like, yeah, I also – my expectation is the answer to this question is ultimately nothing, not shit. But, like – this should have actual like implications, shouldn't it? Like this, of course, we've been saying like they stoked the fires of this shit and we all saw it. And that's true. But like, you know, I feel like this goes a step beyond that and seems like it should matter, but probably won't, I guess, because nothing ever does. But I mean, this is pretty genuinely some wild shit right here, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm finding Merrick Garland to be extremely annoying. Like, Steve Bannon hasn't been arrested yet for contempt, even though he won't show up for a congressional subpoena. It doesn't feel like – it feels like Democrats are doing the usual shit of just waiting for us to do something. You know, y'all fix it. We're busy. But I just love the balls on Cawthorn. He'd literally just been sworn into his first term like 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
And he's still using Google Maps to get to the Capitol. And he's fucking trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, man. Well, anyway, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll actually matter. We'll see. But, hey, Mark, let's do, because I talked about it up top. Let's talk about DeSantis, and then we'll get into the Pandora
Good
Papers.
Call.
Okay, so, yes, guys, guess who's on board with unemployment now? Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. That's right. You're thinking, well, that doesn't sound right. I thought unemployment just incentivized people to not work. It makes people lazy, and they kick their feet up and take their welfare checks and shit, right? That's what they think about unemployment. No, not anymore, so long as the person looking for unemployment is doing so because they quit their job after refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. That's right. I am not bullshitting you. This is a true thing, and it's not just DeSantis. Other states are doing it too. Some GOP leaders are favoring jobless benefits specifically for the unvaccinated. This is just one of those things we talk about, just the bald-faced audacity of their hypocrisy sometimes. Like, it's just so, they're just so shameless with it. Like, this is so apparently hypocritical, and anyone would think would be aware of that and thus less inclined to just dive headfirst into an ideology like this. But that's just not how it works with them. They'll just do it with a smile on their face. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I guess the dumbass here is me for getting the vaccine and I just moving to Florida and going on unemployment.
Yeah.
But DeSantis is also said, if you're a cop who gets fired for not taking the vaccine, come to Florida, we'll give you a job. So I guess like 10% of American cops are going to move to Florida. So it's going to be like Copland.
Think about how crazy the sort of crime headlines we see out of Florida already are. Mm-hmm. And now inject the worst 10% of the rest of the country's law enforcement officers mm-hmm. into that equation. And think about what Florida is going to be like in the future. That's just going to be gnarly, buddy.
What's perfect about this to me is like Republicans in general see everyone who needs unemployment or any social sort of social program as somebody who's lazy or stupid.
Right.
And here you have people creating special unemployment benefits specifically for people who are being lazy and stupid.
Yeah. I know. And that's what I'm saying. And the argument is always you can't give people these benefits because then they won't need or want to work, you know? But it's like, so they're totally okay with somebody just not working, which is supposed to be, again, a huge knock against your character as an American as far as they're concerned. But they're totally okay with it as long as they're doing so because they refuse to get a vaccination in the middle of a fucking global pandemic? And the answer to that is apparently yes. That's exactly how they feel about it, as wild as it may seem.
You know, when they call Nazi socialists, there's a current, like, Herrenvolk democracy, which is what they were doing, was basically socialism for just the Aryan race, right?
Yeah.
And here you have socialism just for anti-vaxxers. It's like they're creating, it's like they want special jails for themselves that are nice. They want special unemployment benefits for them that work, but not for anybody right. else. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like the jail thing earlier, where it's like, you know, yeah, employment benefits should be expanded in times of crisis, and it doesn't make people lazy because they need them. Like, they're so close to, like, doing a good thing or saying the right thing, but there's always this hard veer in the middle of their line of thinking that makes it, you know, completely flipped on its head and turns it into, instead, some crazy bullshit that they're saying.
They find themselves making explicitly left wing arguments, but just for themselves.
Right. I know.
It's like I would be in favor of a jobs guarantee where everyone got a job, and that would, of course, it would be hard to separate unvaccinated people from without a government, you know, vaccine mandate. I would be in favor of, like, better job protections for people, making it harder for them to get fired, not have at will employment where you can get fired for any reason all the time. I'd be in favor of a better social safety that takes care of everyone who's unemployed for whatever reason, including this one probably. But they just want it for this.
Right. It's just like we've said a million times over the past few weeks, the fucking it's my body, it's my choice thing with vaccines. Like, yeah, they're making hardcore left-wing arguments for these insane right-wing rationales that they have. And it's just, you know, again, Simone Biles inside their skulls, man, the mental gymnastics that they're all doing. It's wild. All right, so let's get into it, Mark. Tell us about the sorry-ass rich people and what they got going on out here.
All right, so we've been having this in the back burner for a few weeks since this story dropped, and what made me want to talk about it today is that I am once again mad about Elon Musk. So part of the Democrats' maybe happening big infrastructure bill that's being held up in reconciliation by Sinema and Manchin, they're proposing a tax on billionaires. And this estimate that's on the screen right now says Musk could be hit with a $10 billion annual tax bill. And he's complaining about it. He's been all over Twitter basically saying that once they take my money, they're going to take yours. He's doing the first they came for the gypsies thing, first they came for the communists. But for, you know, he's not. Once they get done with the billionaires, they're going to come for the millionaires. And they're going to be taxing you, the garbage man, right? I can't believe people fall for this shit. For context, Elon Musk made somewhere, I've seen different estimates, between $36 and $42 billion yesterday.
Yesterday. That's fucking insane.
Yeah, because Tesla hit a $1 trillion market cap because Hertz ordered 100,000 Teslas for rental cars. So just another example how everything's fake. Tesla hitting a $1 trillion market cap, it's like they have basically the same amount of yearly revenue and profits as TJ Maxx, all right? The economy is made up. It doesn't.
I know. Well, I read that and I knew it had to do with their stock price and shit like that, you know, but when I first read that because a rental car company ordered 100,000 Teslas, his net worth went up $42 billion in one day, and reading that, it was like, I don't think that's like, how does that, it's like you said, it's all just like, it's all made up. It's like fucking, Wall Street, Harry Potter shit, man.
I mean, if you want to know how fake and all made it up is, first of all, we could do five whole episodes on Elon, but just as what a fraud he is, his whole I'm going to save the world with electric cars thing, his SpaceX plant has submitted environmental permits to turn a chunk of their land that's next to it in a protected wildlife space into an oil refinery. So he's doing that. He's his whole brand's fake and made up. But beyond that, one of the things he's complaining about on Twitter, he was saying that, like, it's not about wealth, it's about capital allocation. I'm a better, more efficient allocator of capital than the government will ever be. One of the things Elon's heavily into right now is he made up his own subset of Dogecoin, a thing called Shiba Coin, whose value is pegged to how many pictures of his dog he tweets.
It seems like he's just making fun of all the rest of us with shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, said, just talking about how fake the economy is, the Pandora papers dropped, and I'm not sure where we're calling everything papers. The Facebook papers just dropped too, but I guess it goes back to the Pentagon papers. But so this consortium of journalists all over the world got dumped a bunch of private financial documents from tax havens and combed through them. And they tell a very interesting tale about who pays taxes and who doesn't. Mainly you and I pay taxes, and people that are richer than us do not. That's basically it. So there's like, they total about $1 trillion of assets. And where is pretty interesting. Matt, this now's a good part to play this video. It gives a little explanation of what the papers are, what they're about.
For years, some of the world's richest people have hidden their wealth in prominent offshore tax havens in places like the Bahamas or Belize. Now, a new investigation reveals the involvement that the United States and prominent world leaders have in the secretive world.
There are 1,001 different ways to describe a tax haven. It's generally considered as a country or a jurisdiction
where you can put your money and avoid paying taxes where you made your money.
A team of reporters from the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, The Washington Post, and hundreds of reporters around the world unearthed secrets from millions of documents. The Pandora Papers show how the ultra-rich and powerful move their money around the globe. It is the largest collaboration of journalists ever organized by the ICIJ.
We have emails, passport copies, bank statements that show how presidents, kings, princesses, billionaires, and criminals hide and move money.
There are more than 11.9 million documents that reveal the holdings of powerful foreign figures, including the King of Jordan and a woman widely considered to be the girlfriend of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The United States, through some very liberal laws in places like Alaska, South Dakota, Nevada, and Delaware, have really become go-to tax havens for global clients.
Yeah. So basically, we've turned huge chunks of America into the Cayman Islands. And and mainly, the surprising one, I think, to everybody was South Dakota. My favorite headline was from Gawker. It was that South Dakota, we're sluts for assets, which is basically what it is. There's one brick building.
Producer Matt's homeland, by the way.
Yeah.
South Dakota. Tell us about the South Dakota asset sluts, Producer Matt. I'm just kidding. I'm sure he'll put something in the comments about it. But who knew? South Dakota, man.
So there's a one little brick building in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, houses billions of dollars of assets somehow. The reporters went there to try to figure out what it is. And it's just an empty building with a bunch of like post office boxes and shit in it. And it's one of the people who has billions of dollars there is a Brazilian orange juice tycoon slash criminal who got hit with the $88 million antitrust case in Brazil. Instead, moved that money to Sioux Falls. That's what you do, baby. When you get hit with a huge penalty, you pack up the truck full of money, you U-Haul full of cash, and you go to South Dakota. But this is all, like, talking about nothing's real. It's also fucking farcical. The people caught up in this, like, Putin, they call her Putin's girlfriend, but she had a kid with him. Putin has a teenage daughter with her, it looks like, although not a lot of Putin's life is admitted to the public. But she is theoretically a house cleaner. That's her job title. But she also owns a shell company that owns a $20 million house in Monte Carlo. So that definitely seems on the up and up. It reminds me of when the Panama Papers dropped, Putin's childhood best friends, who is nominally a cellist, had $2 billion in a bank account in Panama. So he plays the fuck out of the cello trade.
Yeah, evidently. The Elon Musk of cellist. Because for years you always heard, like you said, the Cayman Islands or like Swiss banks and shit like that. Like in movies where people need to put money, you know, it's always offshore banking accounts. Why and how for how long has it been, you know, you don't have to go offshore for that. Like America became the place for that, or certain states did. Like,
I think you trade your bad money. So foreign bad and dirty money comes to America, and dirty American money goes out. So it's just like it's all passing each other in the night. But like there's a word for this, and I can't think of it right now. But it basically is a synonym for like strategic boredom. What you do is you take a bunch of very boring accountants. Think you know, the main character in Ozark. And you do a bunch of weird stuff on paper where a shell company buys a shell company, buys a shell company, buys a shell company, buys a shell company. They're all headquartered in different countries, and they pass money back and forth. And no one can really tell who owns it unless you take a forensic accountant or a team of thousands of journalists working for years to figure out where the fuck this money is. But it literally everyone with more than $20 in your bank account is pretty much involved in this. The funny ones to me, I mean, there were a couple. Like King Abdullah was a funny one to me because what's the point of being a fucking king
if you have to do this? Right, exactly. Like just put it in a fucking, you know. Put it in your golden tiger pit or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, who gives a shit?
You got it. You have to write a prima nocta, but you have to hide your money from the taxes, guys. It's fucking weird to me. Tony Blair, the former prime minister of the United Kingdom, apparently shielded $6 million in taxes by buying a house using a shell corporation. He used a foreign shell corporation to buy a house in London where he lives, I think. Also involved in this, were beloved pop stars Elton John, Ringo Starr, and Shakira.
Maybe those Shakira's, hits do lie, Mark.
About where
her money is kept.
Yes. She's been in trouble in Spain for hiding from tax. Like, she has a big tax case in Spain. I think she won her court case, but all that means is she successfully hid her money. But the really, really funny one to me was the 13-year-old son of the Azerbaijani ruling family. Is nominally the owner of a shell company that has a 33 million pound office park in London. So I know this is just a tax scheme, but it's really, really funny to imagine this kid just loves playing in office parks. Like, he's just doing Home Alone shit in like a British office park.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's fucking, yeah. I just urge him, yeah.
The, like, what... How does this make you feel about, we're always talking about taxing the rich and stuff like that, but I feel like you read these stories and hear them and it's like the lengths that they already can and do go to mm-hmm. avoid paying taxes that they should in the first place. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that something can be done, but I'm saying like it's a, you know, it's a serious undertaking. It feels like actually forcing these people to just pay what should be their fair share, because clearly they have infinite resources to dedicate to the practice of hiding it all in all these fucking nebulous ass hocus pocus fashions that they already utilize anyway. You know what I mean?
Have you ever driven through Delaware up I-95, Trey?
No, I don't think so.
So Delaware is a funny little state. There was a great article about this. I think it was a New Republic cover story years ago. It was called it the pirate state, basically. But basically, Delaware is like 5 miles of interstate to go through Delaware. And there's like a toll booth every 15 feet. Basically, it's just a tax on people passing through the state from other states to steal money from other states, right? And you ever notice how all your bills were paid to Delaware? Like all your
credit cards? Yeah, I've heard before that. I know that a lot of places are incorporated in Delaware because mm-hmm. of their tax laws or something or whatever.
Yeah. So instead of cracking down on Delaware, we've turned the whole state into a whole country into Delaware, apparently.
Right.
And considering that our current president is, you know, former Senator Deese MasterCard, this is just the way it's going to work. And no one has any will to change it because people that write the checks do this. And the only reason I like talking about this stuff is because it highlights to people like us, money is real, right? A check with a certain amount of money goes to my bank.
Yeah, right.
Goes to my bank account, my name on it. The IRS has my social security number. They take a percentage out of my check. And then I take that money that's basically physically, even if it's on a card, and I go and I exchange it for goods and services, right? Then you have a whole other group of people for whom money is, it's like passing through like an M.C. Escher staircase of bullshit, like an abacus is just counting nothing and moving around. And then out comes a bunch of free money that's not attached to anything the IRS can't even find. Right. It's like, if that doesn't make you angry that you're paying taxes and Jeff Bezos is getting a child tax credit.
Right.
It's like.
That's what I'm saying. They clearly play by a completely different set of rules insofar as they even have rules, you know, than mm-hmm. we do. And it's fucking infuriating. And that's what I'm saying, like that, because they have the ability to to do all this shit. They have, you know, an army of people they could pay to just spend their entire life dedicated to figuring all this out for them and making all these like little money moves and stuff. And it's all just numbers on a computer screen or whatever. And meanwhile, they own islands and jets and stuff. They, it's fucking wild.
You trade your blood, sweat, and time for money to feed your family, and they push a button and the money machine goes brrr and gives them more money. It's like, and our ostensible left-wing political party can't even manage to pass a bill to crack down on this shit because Kristen Sinema wants to wear a jean jacket and on the floor of Congress instead of doing her job. So,
All right. There she is.
Yeah, there we go. There she is today. There's our manic pixie dream senator. She loves
you pointed out earlier. Yeah, I was going to say you pointed out earlier, but before we started, that she's real into thumb gestures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. Got under control. Got my denim vest and my two thumbs. All right, Matt, you start putting up some comments and stuff. I'll try to scroll through them here. I want to know, Mark, you ready for Halloween?
Oh, man. We were had tickets to go on a haunted hayride last night, but it got canceled because it rained.
Oh, so that's a bummer. Haunted hayrides. Yeah. I didn't know they had those out here. I mean, I guess they, you know, got them. I never put together, because we had haunted hayrides where I grew up, and I just because of the hay part, the hayride part, I guess I just always assumed that was like a rural thing or something. And other places, you know, y'all got haunted houses. We got haunted bales of hay. But that's not the case. Not everybody likes a haunted hayride. All right.
Yeah. I mean, you drive 15 minutes outside of LA, you can find horse ranches. I mean, that's where they shoot Westerns.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. Yeah.
But so like the, I mean, I'm not really a hayride kind of guy, but I, I give my wife, like two or three super corny activities a year just to make her happy. So we do that kind of shit. Last year, 2 years ago, I guess, because of COVID, we, did a family porch, Christmas porchette and Christmas sweaters with our dog. So that was her one that year. And this year, the first year we were together, I told her I would do a couple's Halloween costume once in our life together. She chose to, she chose to burn it the first year because she didn't believe me.
Oh, buddy, I do it. Yeah, that's a Katie. My wife is very much a like a Halloween fanatic, loves Halloween. So I'm always having to be an accessory, like, you know, she has various accessories to her costume. Maybe she's got a cane or a wand or something. And then also I am an additional accessory to her costume rather than really having my own costume. I'm just a part of her whole ensemble that she's got going on, which is fine. Cause I don't really give a shit about it. Producer Matt is reminding me to say to everybody, please like and subscribe, hit them buttons, all that. We appreciate it. And if you would like a Weekly Skews shirt, you can go to weeklyskews.com and check those out. And so, Well-Read Comedy Tour is
Well-Read Comedy Tour. I keep meaning to get a t-shirt. I got to get a t-shirt. Yeah, I'm going to order one. Sorry, I keep interrupting you, Trey. Go ahead.
No, no, that's okay. I'm trying to sorry, I'm looking through the comments. I got it. Not trying to do two things at once, and I'm not good at that, so go ahead.
So you're talking about being an accessory, and I just realized that's what I was. We did our couple of Halloween costumes because my wife loves the Peanuts cartoons, and I'm a bald fella, as everybody knows. And Charlie Brown, his crush in the Peanuts cartoons was the little redheaded girl, right? My wife happens to have red hair. So what we did one year is we went as Charlie Brown, the little redheaded girl. And of course, she looked amazing. We got to wear a hot dress and do her hair up in pigtails and look beautiful. And what I got was a dumpy yellow shirt and a Sharpie with a squiggle drawn on my forehead. So,
right. I did a video about that once a couple of Halloweens ago about how that often goes for guys in general. I think, you know, it's not an isolated phenomenon for sure. She earlier this year, she was like, I could be Mary Poppins and you could be one of the penguins. Right. And and I was like, okay, fine, whatever, that's fine. I was like Maleficent's Raven a couple of years ago, so let's just do a bird. I'll just be a bird every year. But anyway, I was like, that's fine. And then she sent me a screenshot from Mary Poppins of the penguins doing a little penguin dance, and she's like, you know, you'll have to learn the dance. And in that screenshot was Mary Poppins and also Dick Van Dyke's character. And for the first time, it occurred to me, I was like, wait, why can't I just be fucking Dick Van Dyke? Like, wouldn't that make more sense? You know? And she's like, I'd rather you be the penguin.
But what if instead, like, you know how we just talked about Republicans are like socialists, but just for anti-vax benefits. What if we started a men's rights group where our only issue was Halloween costumes?
Halloween costumes. Yeah. Yeah. I remember I had a buddy in college once, and his would-be wife one day, girlfriend at the time, was like a sexy baker, like a little, you know, like a baker lady, but, you know, sexy, because that's how their costumes are. And he was just a fucking donut, just a big round donut with sprinkles on it, which, you know, it was fun, but yeah.
Yeah, we want to be sluts too, Trey. Let us dress up like sexy sluts. Come on.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to put this up here. Betty Veronica says, hashtag Trey, spelled like my name, Lur Baby, Trailer Baby. I say Trailer Baby a lot. I was a Trailer Baby. I got me a couple of well, I guess mine aren't Trailer Babies. They're Trailer Babies, and they're from a long line of Trailer Babies. Anyway, yeah, not sure what I said that prompted that, but I appreciate it. I went and got a haircut at a new barbershop once in East Tennessee, and I walked in. I probably had my sleeves cut off or something like that, and I said, my name's Trey, and the guy goes, Trey, is that short for trailer? And I was like, all right, I appreciate it, Barbara. Just go Def Jam off top like that, you know.
I love barbershop humor.
Yeah, Bert, I'm a little bit behind in reading through the comments, and some people, before I even said the thing, were like, why couldn't you just be Dick Van Dyke's character? Like, when I first said, y'all are smarter than me, because it didn't occur to me until I saw a picture of him. But yeah, let's see over here. Judy Kidder Browning says, I do Halloween disguised as a normal person. What's that? Wonder what's that mean about your the other 364 days of the year, Judy? Those are the days you dress up. Like her job is as like a demonic candy striper or something. And so Halloween's the only time she gets to dress.
Normally. What if Canadians do Thanksgiving like a random like day in September or whatever? October, whatever it is. What if we just like, I celebrate, you know, Canadian Halloween, and I just like one day in random day in March, I just go to work in Joker makeup.
Yeah. All right. We got an actual like, Jennifer Hartsman says, those are legacy trailer babies. Thank you. That's the term I was looking for. I appreciate it. Carla Barrick says, question, how's the left turn things around to prevent a Trump second wave? What do you think about that, Mark? Is there going to be a Trump second wave?
I mean, if Biden's approval is underwater by like 8 points and like Democrats can't even pass very popular bills. I mean, like it's so I was reading Dave Weigel the other day, as a Washington Post reporter, was like, if Democrats can't pass, child leave, paid parental leave, then Trump's going to run on it. Just like he ran on improving Obamacare. It doesn't mean he's going to do it, but it's a very popular policy and it's a layup to run on. And it's like they start off with 12 weeks, which already isn't enough. I think in most countries you get 29. Like Mexico has paid parental leave. If they can afford it, we can afford it, right? And they already whittled it down to 4. Manchin will only accept 4. And someone else made this point that like it's illegal in most states to take puppies away from their parents before 8 weeks. So it's just like, I don't understand. It's like it's just cruelty for no reason. Even our left wing party can't do stuff to help people. It's popular. That's very easy to pay for.
Yeah. Carla also asked, when are we going to see Trump indictments? That's what we were alluding to earlier. I'll just believe them when I see them, you know.
Yeah.
Because I said, Garland don't seem too inclined to do any of that shit that people want him to do for whatever fucking reason. So
Steve Bannon has refused to testify in front of Congress in defiance of a subpoena, claiming executive privilege for a time when 3 years after he worked for the federal government, and this former president can't even assert executive privilege. That belongs to the office. It doesn't belong to a person when they leave it. So it doesn't, like, if you can't lock somebody up for flagrantly violating the law without even a decent pretext, they're doing that "we're looking forward, not backward" bullshit. And here's the thing about that, Merrick. All crimes happen in the past. You don't arrest anyone for future crimes.
Not until Minority Report, at least.
Yeah.
Sean Adams, the other question, does Biden run for a second term? I remember hearing when he was first like running for this one, some like speculation that he might not even intend to be a two-term president or whatever, but I haven't heard that shit in a while, I feel like. Was there anything to that, you think? Or?
Well, Kamala's polling are roughly around, her approval ratings are roughly around that of malaria. So I hope to God he has a plan, because the party does not. And literally this old guy with sort of left-wing ambitions, but also has the trust of other old white people in the electorate, is literally the only thing holding this whole coalition together, and he's 84 years old. So I hope so. I reluctantly hope so. Yeah.
It seems to me like I desperately want them to pass something too. I'm not making any kind of excuse. I'm just pointing out how shitty this is, I guess. But it's that, like, yeah, they have to get some shit done and get some shit passed. But it feels to me like if not for two people, they would be able to do that. But they're being like held hostage by two of, you know, their own, in air quotes, in Sinema and Manchin. But that doesn't change the fact that at the end of the day, shit still just isn't happening. It's just very discouraging that
I think there are other conservative Democrats who would very much like a lot of this not to pass. Like, for example, Mark Warner. But they don't have to put their names on it because they've designated Kristen Sinema to be the villain.
Right.
And it was her turn, and she stupidly volunteered for it. And now she's getting all this heat for positions they probably, a lot of them, share. But if it got to the floor, I would just put the bill on the floor and dare Kristen to vote against it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Democrat Darlene Peterson says Democrats are not left wing. The Democrat Party is definitely true. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. In this country, the Democratic Party is like moderate. It, like, on the actual spectrum of right to left, it's like centrist. And then the Republican Party is just, you know, further and further to the extreme on the right. But we have very few people that are actually left wing in positions of leadership, it feels like, which, sucks.
In the leadership, yes. The party in general nationally has moved a lot to the left, not far enough, in my opinion. But literally, the House, every House Democrat, for the most part, except for like three prescription drug, you know, sleazeballs, and 48 senators at least say they're willing to vote for a lot of these awesome left-wing priorities. And it's just, even Nancy Pelosi's on board for most of it. Chuck Schumer's on board for most of it. It's just two fucking people. And Biden's on board for it, or at least says he is. And he could probably put more pressure on Sinema. Well, he can't put much pressure on Manchin because Manchin likes it, but... Yeah. Wild times, man.
Roscoe Muttley, is that what it says? Says Garland is a pussy. So there you go. Get that biting political analysis here from old Roscoe. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. We spent, 4 years of Merrick Garland martyrdom, and then he finally gets a green job.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah, it's just they just all let you down in the end, one way or another, feels like.
Yeah.
Through My Eyes on YouTube says it's about money, not what's right. And in keeping with the story from earlier, yes, it's always the case in this country.
Yeah.
And Dallas, just follow the money. It's always the fucking money.
Manchin's son runs a couple of coal companies, and his daughter is a pharma executive. So there you go. That's why we can't save the planet.
Yep.
Sorry, you can't go to the doctor. Joe Manchin's daughter wants to work for an evil company instead of a good one. So, yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Mark, enjoy your Halloween. Everybody get all spooky out there. Put on your bone outfits and your witch makeup, whatever else you're going to do, and have a good time. Eat a shitload of candy, get drunk and fuck, however you choose to celebrate it. I hope you enjoy the end of Spooktober, and that is also the end of this week's edition of Weekly Skews. One last time, you go to wellreadcomedy.com for tickets to see me. If you're vaccinated, you can also go to weeklyskews.com if you want one of them fancy-dancy shirts. And me and Mark and producer Matt will be back next week right here. Same skews time, same skews place. Thank you all very much. See you, love you, bye.
You.